Hey everyone, and welcome back to the MDPC. Today we will be reviewing the first adventure, as well as going over the new promo for Fight for Castle McDuck.
I was going to say that one.
It's like, oh, the one with the McDuck.
I'm not the sister.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there was a promo released. I believe it was last... I saw it last night. But I don't know how long ago it was released. Anyway, yeah, doing that as well as trying to figure out for the first adventure, the timeline was a little like trying to figure out what happened first, like last, because there's Last Christmas, mm-hmm. Confidential Case Files, and then this episode had different, it was like two different timelines going in this episode, so trying to kind of break down what happened first, basically. So, before we start, for the plot of this episode, Sierra, you have, what, describe this episode in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Can use one comma. Okay, you want me to know?
Yeah.
I just thought of, no, wait, no. Okay. Foul has been revealed, comma. Scrooge starts adventuring again with Donald and Della. End of sentence.
I'd say like, I don't know, I'm trying to...
It was so good.
I know.
I liked like it.
The history of Foul revealed, comma. Scrooge...
He's a sellout.
Scrooge begins adventuring with his family.
Yes. Okay. Good enough. Most memorable moments of this episode. I would say it would be Della, you know, when she's like, oh my gosh, no magic can kill me. Like, I'm the chosen one, you know? That was like Dewey in Sky Pirates, you know? He was the chosen one to get his hat made out, what was it, alpaca or something?
Yep.
Like, oh my gosh, that episode.
I think probably Della when she's just like, I can jump it, and then goes to jump it. She's like, gosh. Oh no, never mind.
Like, Donald, you jump it. That was awesome. Quotes to take away from this episode. You know, I wanted to have something like some cool quote, like Della asking, is this deadly or is this deadly? But the quote I got out of this was owl. You know? Yeah, it's going to be my most used quote from this episode.
Oh, most used quote? Or
yeah, the one you got out of it and the one you're going to, like, say. You're going to end up saying this one a lot.
Probably.
It's owl.
For me, it'd probably be when Donald is just, like, you just got to live in the now. And
yeah.
Scrooge is, like, said the future freeloader.
Yeah. I love episodes when they do that. Okay, a couple quick mentions before we get into the episode is this will be our last episode recording for about 2 weeks. We're going to be on a 2-week break because Thanksgiving, and then we got a whole, we're going to be taking a trip. So, yeah, we'll be off for 2 weeks, but we'll come back in like the middle of December with another, with the review for Fight for Castle McDuck. So, just a heads up on that. Yeah, this was a great episode with the theme that family is everything,
mm-hmm.
You know, they just, DuckTales loves that theme, so they went a lot with it here. And I was not expecting Fowl's origin story mm-hmm. for this episode, like, that was pretty cool, like, it started and I was like, why didn't I even think of this, you know, like, why didn't I think that was gonna be a thing, just like. Oh, that was cool how they did that. You know, Heron and Bradford's fiendship they got. And you get to see how long they've known each other. Because I didn't, like, realize, you know, that they were, you know, the first agents, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you see the most of them. Like, they seem like the main leaders.
FL. Yeah, Bradford's the head, though. But yeah,
the
you get to see their fiendship. They're best fiends. Also, I did not think that Bradford was a former Shush. You know, he worked mm-hmm. for Shush. He was an accountant. Yeah, I didn't think of that one either. Yeah, I just thought he came out of nowhere. You know, just some random dude like, we must control the world. yeah, we're trying to... this episode takes place. This is definitely, like, there was no flash forwards in this episode to present time. It was all back then.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, yeah, we'll get into the timeline in a minute. And then it made me wonder, like, how did Duckworth die? You know,
because right?
He's alive in this one, too. Like, in Last Christmas, you know, at the Christmas party, he was there. I'm like, how did Duckworth
like,
die?
Like, he hasn't been dead for long because I think Webby remembers him.
Does she?
Yeah, because she's just like, he hasn't had a good one. Well, unless she just looked into the history a lot.
You know, she knows a lot about Scrooge. She probably just knew that. Yeah, like, how did Duckworth die? and then I love how all the characters in this episode, like, subtly look younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Scrooge, his little tufts are, like, a little more...
tufty.
Big, and then the bags under everyone's eyes aren't there. So it's just they all look a little younger in the beginning. But then, like, after the theme song, you know, it's more closer to the present time. They do look older. Like, a little older, but then in the very present time, they look even older. So, it's, like, three stages of them. Yeah, there were a lot of cameos in this episode to comics and I feel like previous episodes even. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on in this episode. Way more Donald songs, you know? Now we're going to have, like, hundreds instead of, like, just one, you
know? Hundreds. It was, like,
five. Yeah. Hundreds. Yeah, that was good. So, yeah, we got a lot more Donald songs to sing to. Yeah, so we got origin stories to Foul, Donald's bad luck, Della becoming a pilot, and, of course,
Donald temper tantrum.
Donald and Della coming to live with Scrooge. Yeah, we get, you know, Donald's, like, his first temper tantrum.
Not his first, probably.
It had to be his first.
Why would it be his first?
Did I not tell you? Did I not? Talk to you before this?
No, you didn't.
No, I think this was his first one.
Oh, okay.
I love how Della in this episode, she's a mixture of all the boys' personalities. Though, like, she should have pulled out, like, a Junior Woodchuck guidebook sometime in this episode, you know? That would have just been, like, completed, you know, the Huey aspect of her character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, would have been awesome. And Donald reminds me of Louie. Even though Donald, you know, is like, who cares about the treasure, that Louie's all about the treasure. Yeah.
I think he's just more of, like, the chill, even though he's
older. The laid back and, you know, the half open eyes. You know, that was just Louie. So, yeah, it cracks me up. This episode, watching it made Della's reunion in Nothing Can Stop Della Duck made that, like, reunion so much better, you know, after seeing, you know, they were adventuring when they were kids and then she gets lost and then comes back. It's like, oh, the reunion's so much better. But the episode, it felt like it was missing something, you know, like it had to have, like, some type of flash forward at the end of the episode, you know, to have, like, the family in the mansion hanging out or whatever, drinking hot chocolate, I don't know. Or, like, Bradford, you know, plotting something. Like, it needed something, but I think they went with that theme, you know, the writers, to be like, it makes you feel like, okay, now I'm ready for the next episode, you know, like, what's gonna happen now? I feel like something's missing. I gotta keep watching.
Like, I know more now. What's gonna happen?
Yeah, this was great. It's like, this episode seemed to, like, of course, first adventure, but, like, building up something with Foul, you know, more getting to know Foul a little more and... like, prepping for something that's coming. And I guess you had to know what happened previously to know, to understand the next episodes coming up or something. We'll see. Okay, so we're trying to figure out the timeline. It's a little weird. But, okay, so the beginning of the episode, before the theme song happened, before everything, I believe that's, like, the first... you know, what am I trying to say?
Opening scene?
Yeah, the opening scene was happened before any other DuckTales thing ever, is what I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and then I believe Scrooge... oh, wait, no. Then I believe Confidential Case Files happened after that.
Yeah.
And then Scrooge's Christmas party. And then the rest of this episode. Because in the Christmas party... Scrooge, you know, is kind of, there's a part, you know, he's, like, talking to Agent 22 as if, like, he's you know, hung out with her before, you know, Beakley before. Yeah. Like, that would make sense for confidential case files to happen before that. And the buzzards, they're at the Christmas party. And then after this episode, you know, Scrooge, you know, the whole time Scrooge is mentioning his Christmas party, you know, like, hey, yeah, you were from the Christmas party, you know. So that definitely happened before, but I believe confidential case files happened before that. And the beginning of this episode was before that. That's just what's going on in my brain. So I believe that's how it goes. So getting into the episode, the opening scene took place in the 1960s in London at the Shush headquarters. Shush. That's what Ludwig called it.
Some say shush and some say shush.
Shush. The majority says it's like a shush.
I think Beakley says shush and like everyone else says shush.
Shush. What does Scrooge say? He's like got an accent going with that one.
I can't even hear him saying it right now.
It's probably like shush.
Shush.
I don't know.
Shush.
Shush. Okay. I love how the light, like the filter of everything makes it seem older, you know, like, okay, this isn't present time, this is happening before.
It's like in Confidential Case Files, every time they'd go back, the filter would change.
Yeah. So it's kinda like that. You're like, okay, this has happened before. And you see Agent 22 bringing in Black Heron. And then Mount Everest mention. Oh, like Heron trying to cover face on Mount Everest. I can just
what if picture it proved it?
That's when Mount Everest, you see her face carved on it. Or where she tried to carve her face on it.
But failed. No.
Yeah, but failed. Just exploded half the mountain. And then Bradford's trying to get Ludwig on his side to control the world in the meeting, has hair.
In his turtle feathers.
I don't know. What has he got?
In his glasses. Just the way Bradford
looks. Yeah, he looks like funny. He's just like, you know, this young kid that's super nerdy, you know? So then, he's trying to take over the world to prevent a villain from, taking over the world. Yeah. I love how Ludwig's doing, a Rubik's Cube.
I know.
And like Bradford did in Double O Duck, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. And then, you know, was it like his original logo, you know, we got to rule the world with an iron fist, you know? And he's got on this slide, I was like, was that the original Fowl logo, you know? Like, oh, Heron made some upgrades on that one. Like,
I know.
That looks so janky. Let's make it like a fist holding the world instead of punching it.
He's like, ah, fine.
Like, I guess that would work.
I love when he says take over the world. Ludwig is just like, you want to go bad? Like those terrible villains?
Yeah, like what the heck? So the request was obviously denied. Losing my voice.
He's like, haha, right.
Like, request denied. We're not doing that. So we know that Bradford, you know, you think, oh, he's so bad. But you see, he went to shush first, you know?
Mm.
Like, I'm trying to, you know, to control the world order. He doesn't want to be a bad guy, you know, but so he goes to them and is like,
it's almost like he doesn't care how he does it. He just wants to do it.
Yes, exactly. And since Shush denied, then he went to Heron. But the job, you know, he's like, Ludwig's like, I only gave you this job as a favor to your granny mama. And I just thought, granny mama. Goldie mama too. Ah. Dude, that is the weirdest.
Oh my God.
I don't know why I say that one so much.
I don't like
so
Doofus.
Weird. They definitely rebooted Doofus as a doofus. Yeah. And I was like, was Bradford a screw up or what? Because usually when, you know, the grandmas try to get a job for the grandchildren, they're not doing well. So yeah. I don't know how. What was his previous, like, we need an episode just Bradford growing up. was he a kid? Like, I don't know. He's in a nursery or at school. Like, we need order. Yeah, kids are crazy. You know, like
he's the tattletale one. Stop. He's coloring on the walls. You gotta stop.
He's like, just sit down.
He's
straight.
Not coloring in the lines.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what was Bradford's childhood like?
Poor parents. Well, not poor parents, poor other kids that he played with.
Yeah.
And it's like, Frank, you're not doing this right.
What? What? So I wasn't listening to what you said.
Four other kids that Bradford played with.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's Bradford. So Frank Ngonez, he said at 2019 Comic Con, I believe it was, he enjoyed writing for Ludwig and Gyro the most, which, you know, Ludwig's got, like, you know, the accent and the stuff he says, you know, just, like, incredible, so.
I love this one. You gotta get this cookie bad guy stuff out of your crazy little head.
Yes, just, like, the random, like,
with his accent.
He takes a word and just, like, you know, just adds random stuff. I don't even know. Yeah. And Ludwig calls Shush. Shush.
Shush is a world saving organization.
Did you, like, write down all the quotes?
Maybe. No.
So then Bradford, he gets Heron for reinforcement and knowledge because he's like, I don't know what to do on my own. I mean, you know, he eventually starts to figure it out. But he's at the moment just like, how do I take over the world? Like, oh, look. There's Heron. Let me go ask her.
I love how the next scene, he's going over his whole speech again that he gave Ludwig just a second ago. He's like, simply defeat any who opposes.
Wait, really?
It. Yeah, because at the end, he's just like, then run the world with an iron fist.
That's awesome. He said that at the end. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. But he says it the same exact way.
Yeah,
so he's funny.
Like, okay, denied. Okay, let's go over to you now. And I love how they made it to where... In this episode, she's more in the lead controlling Bradford, you know? Mm-hmm. But then in the latest season 3 episodes, Bradford's like, you know, the leader and, you know, Heron cowers before Bradford, you know? Just like, oh my gosh, he's creepy, you know? Like, especially Double O Deck, you know? Yeah. When he's getting after her and Steelbeak, you know? Just like, he seems like he's all high and mighty over here, you know? Just like... She's just something switched from this episode to then for him to, I guess he just slowly, you know, got
intimidating as he got older. He just looks
yeah,
scarier.
He looks creepier. And then we got Owl, which, you know, perfectly, like, they didn't see it coming, but it was like, oh, that's so funny. It makes sense.
Organization for World Loss.
Yeah.
That's like, it's a little meh.
Yeah, so his goal, he wants to steal the world out from under Shush. But then, you know, later in, I believe it was Double O Duck, he says he wants to steal the world out from under McDuck's nose. So it switched from Shush. Now he's like, he's, I don't know, Scrooge, you know, it's gotten pretty powerful. So now he wants...
Scrooge probably wasn't the richest duck in the world then.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what Scrooge was doing. Well, we do know.
He was probably building his fortune, but at the time, he probably wasn't the richest duck in the world.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know who Scrooge is, but by the end of the episode, he's kind of like, okay, wait, Scrooge is kind of a big deal here. Like, I should probably take him out. So, yeah.
Like, wait a second.
Yeah, and I love, you know, Let's Get Dangerous wasn't the first time he had to deal with supervillain issues, you know? Because in this one, Heron's just all like... Oh, we're supervillains, you know? Like Bradford, he's like keeps having to deal with the supervillain.
Supervillain.
That sounded like civilian. I was thinking supervillain solutions.
Oh.
So yeah. And then he adds the F fiendish that she wanted for just fine. Pretty much her compliance with this whole plan. Just like, fine, I'll add the F.
It's like, okay, sweet. There we have
good.
A cooler name.
We got fiendship. Fiendship now.
I love how she just uses his pen.
Yeah, she just pulls it out like, yeah, we'll put this right here. So, yeah, I love the way the scene built up, you know, like he's like, hey, let's out, I'll contact you when it's time. And then he sets the alarm to cover up what happened and the paper of foul falling to the ground. And then
for dramatic
the theme song, you know, it was just like incredible. Like just the whole build up. But me and Sarah were talking, it reminded us of the game Among Us, you know, when you're trying to... If you're the imposter or whatever, and you, like, go and you kill someone and you try to, like, self-report to cover up your tracks, you know, you're just like, he basically self-reported.
He self-reported. It's like, oh, it's awesome. Sense Bradford.
Yeah. I sense Bradford. He's acting pretty sus there. So, yeah, then he's like, there's been an escape, you know, cue theme.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Life is like a candy cane.
I almost said candy cane! I was going to say it, then I was like, wait, it's not even Christmas. We get candy cane in 2 episodes. Ooh, what if they bring back the Christmas theme for How Santa Stole Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. So, yeah.
I'm so excited for that episode.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, now the events of the episode have fast-forwarded a bit to, let's see, last Christmas happened, confidential case. Well, I said those backwards. Those happened, and now we've got this episode. What's going on here? So, yeah. Bradford lost his hair. Heron looks a bit older, and they both have, like, the bags under their eyes, you know? But they're definitely younger looking.
They're not aging.
They're definitely looking younger than present time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're in the bin, and Duckworth lives. So, yeah.
He's not see-through.
Yep. Yeah, you're like, something looks weird about what? What's that? Silence your phone.
Just hear a little snap.
You just hear the bird. I almost copied it. That would, like.
Might be a Disneyland. Weak.
Oh, yeah, every time you, like, scan your pass or whatever, it'll make the little whistle, like, oh, I made it into Disneyland! So, yeah.
I heard a sigh of relief every time they accepted my pass.
That's always the worst when you go, like, you walk up to Disneyland, like, wait, is this a blockout day for me? And then you, like, scan, like, please, and then they let you in, you're like, yes!
You're like, oh, sweet, okay.
Because I've had, you know, we've had multiple days like that, like, wait, are our passes blocked out today? Like, oh, shoot. Like, I didn't check. So, yeah, Scrooge has two phones, and he's talking to two different people having the same conversation, though. Because, yeah. You know, he's got both, and he's just talking to both of them. So he's got his daily swim and money count. Yeah, I guess he does that daily. Which I would assume he'd do that daily, you know. Then he's going to go to Tralala to check out the bottle cap plans that they've got there, which is a reference type of cameo to a DuckTales episode, 1987. Sarah, what was that one called?
Something about Tralala.
Tralala. Let's see. Yeah, basically what happens in that is Scrooge loses his mind because everyone wants his money. So what he does is he goes to the mystical land of Tralala to... Where money isn't a thing, except he's got his bottle caps of, like, medicine and stuff. Not bottle caps. He's got bottles of medicine, and he's just, like, drawing the bottle caps everywhere, and people, they start using that as their currency, money currency.
Valuable
bottle caps.
Another one man's trash is another man's money.
Yeah, so that one was pretty, actually a really entertaining episode. I'm trying to figure out which one that was. Okay, I found it. It is The Land of Tralala.
Of course.
Pretty easy. I don't know why I didn't.
We didn't forget that.
Yeah, it's pretty easy name. Anyways, I recommend watching it. That's actually a very
entertaining
episode. It says, well, if you go to Disney Plus, it's season 2, episode 6. I don't know if that's actually what it's supposed to be, but it was a comic too by I believe it was Carl Barks. Where's Don Rosa? Let's see. Yep, Carl Barks. It's just Tralala though for the comic. But yeah. So there's a mention in there, and then he's got a meet and greet with vampire dignitaries. Like, where did that come from? I mean, DuckTales has had, like, you know, some episodes they've had vampires in them, and then, like, the DuckTales video game, like, having to deal with vampires and stuff. So, probably, a, you know, reference to all that stuff vampires dealt with in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then he's got a routine security check on Falcon Island. Which is the land where the, what's it called? Bombi?
Yeah.
The Bombi is kept. So, yeah, been around for a while. And Hortense stopped by and left him something. And I love how he's just like, did I forget my own birthday? Like, I forget my own birthday.
What'd she bring? An itchy sweater. A scented candle.
Yeah, okay, I like Massive Inconvenience better.
I know.
Like, yeah, that's a good one. So, yeah.
The broken vase, though. What did that have to do with anything? Oh. It had something to do with something. Oh, and when Donald.
Oh, the and Donald's nephews. Yeah, when the triplets first came in that. It's like a Donald Duck type of a short. When the triplets, you know, it's like saying how the triplets first, you know, came to stay with Donald. But they're when they first come in, they're just breaking vases everywhere. So there's just a vase breaking on the floor here in this episode, too. So it's like kind of a familiar tone. So Della, you know, is like an impossible and jumping all over the office stuff. Like she just can't keep her hands off anything, you know, just jumping everywhere.
Is this deadly?
Is this deadly?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
That's just easily broken. It's like.
That's another one of my favorites.
Yes.
I love the way Paget voiced her in this. Yes. I love her voice. She's just so cute.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Just like I can picture Paget in the studio, you know, they're like, okay, you need to sound like a little girl again, like you did that one episode. She's like, got it.
But she does sound younger in this one though.
Yeah. It's so cute. Yeah, Donald's working. You know, I love how Della's, you know, how long have they been in the office, you know? Like, have they been there for a couple hours? And Della's just going around like, oh, look at this stuff. And Donald's just working at his musical career in the corner there. So, yeah, he has a very successful career at that. Very successful. He had one fan. Yep, Daisy.
He had
one. Yeah, and I love how he has an acoustic guitar, but in Last Christmas, he upgrades to electric sometime between now and then, even though he keeps the acoustic.
Yeah, and also in, was it Last Christmas, when Dewey is, like, having his thing in his room.
He's meltdown? Like, not meltdown, he's but, like, he misses his mom.
Yeah. When Donald busts in with the guitar, he has the same guitar.
Yeah, so he's kept it. Mm-hmm. Plus the three cabs. I believe it was Panchito had that guitar as well, but it was like a different, like the little triangles were different color.
Instead of blue.
So it's like they all had matching guitars or something. I would like to see an episode of them when they're all younger. Like, when did they meet? What if they were like kids when they met, you know? Like, let's have a band. So, yep. Let's see. Donald hits the jackpot by finding a dime. I love how he's like, I get the jackpot! You know, by just saying money, like, oh, it's a dime.
Like, ooh, new pick.
So, yeah.
That won't work well.
So then Scrooge. Yeah, I love the note Hortense left, you know? Like, my angel niece and nephew, Della and Donald, are going to come to stay with you while their father is in. I love how it's not in the hospital. In hospital. A giant firecracker exploded under his chair, and the little darlings are so playful. And this was like a Sea Monster Ate My Ice Cream moment, you know, like a very big cameo from Donald's nephews.
Yeah.
Another reference to that short. And like the whole firecracker under the chair, like that was originally like the triplet's father's fate, what was supposed to happen to him, you know, like to explain where he went, you know. He was in the hospital.
I know, and now that's not really an option.
Now it's Della and Donald's father's unfortunate fate. And so, yeah, this was awesome, you know, just like, oh my gosh, they said it. You know, that was just such a cool thing they did there. Yeah. Cracks me up. So then it made me happen, like, what did happen to the triplet's father then, you know? Like,
I know.
Dewey was inquisitive about his mom, you know, and didn't care about the danger that it took to find her. But literally, it's like, even the triplets know, don't talk about her father, you know? Like,
what? Just don't talk about it.
Talk about him. Yeah, and it's like, you know, all the family trees, you know, you look up, is like covered by a bird, you know?
Or
just like
a leaf or something.
Yeah, oh my gosh. You can't, like, are they going to bring him in at some point, you know?
Probably not. I don't know. That'd still be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be a little, I don't know what I would think of that, you know, like to have Della Della coming back was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. But if their dad came back, would it be like, okay, there's a lot of main characters now, but he'd have to look really cool.
Yeah.
And he'd have to have like a good story to what happened. Why was he gone forever?
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, and then the question of Della and Donald's parents. Like, what happened to them? Was he in the hospital for, like, I don't know, how many years? Because, Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe like they went home and then they just like stayed with
They're just like
all the time.
Oh, the kids are having so much fun with their uncle. Let's just stay over there.
Just leave them there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love how Della's rolling around the globe, you know, and she climbs onto it and it breaks. But I love how right before she climbs, she has to face like, this is a great idea. Like, I'm going to stand on top of the globe, you know, and just like, what went through your mind, Della? Like, oh, this is going to work great. I'm going to stand on it.
And then her face when it breaks, she's like,
oh. And I love that Scrooge, you know, he bought a new globe at some point because an Impossible Man. And like literally every other episode, the newer ones of him in the bin, he's got a globe and it's not broken. So like he bought a new one at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have loved to seen the day leading up to them getting dropped off at the bin from Donald and Della's point of view, like their perspective on this. Like, did they light the firecrackers under their father's chair? Because I could believe Della doing that. Like,
that,
it was going to be great, but I guess it didn't work out how I thought.
You're going to make him fly.
He was going to fly, and it was going to be epic, but didn't work, sadly. Yeah, like, I don't know what was going on in their minds. You know, like, Hortense dropping them off, like, okay, stay here, your uncle will be here soon, you know? And they're just like, okay. Yeah, Scrooge doesn't want anything to do with the kids, which, this episode was a lot like Woo. Because it's like, basically, Scrooge doesn't want to deal with the kids. Yeah, that happened in both the episodes, but then, you know, they end up going on the adventure. It was, like, very similar to the both the episodes. He used to adventure. He doesn't anymore. He goes on an adventure with the kids. They all become very close. And, yeah. End of story! So, yeah. You know, then Donald, his first song we get out of him. Like, what? Oh, he goes, like, he's, like, the same old grouchy uncle. And this also means that this wasn't their first encounter with Scrooge. Because he says, like, the same old grouchy uncle. Like, they've met before, you know? And it's just, like, he was boring then. He's obviously boring the first time they met. So then Donald's, like, today is going to be a total bummer. And the way he's like today, like, did he only expect to stay one day? You know, like, dang, today is going to be boring. Like, did he think his dad would get out of the hospital? And so, yeah, and then they end up, what made them stay forever, you know? So maybe that will be addressed in, like, Fight for Castle McDuck or something, you know, if Matilda is talking about it. Oh, I want to see Hortense.
I know.
But, yeah, like, what made them stay with Scrooge? And so then Della, she mentions some past Scrooge adventures, you know, like, you know, this day's not going to be boring, like, these, like, you did this, like, and she mentions more cameos, like, you defeated, like, the Colossus of the Nile, which was, like, these were, well, what she mentioned were, like, Uncle Scrooge Adventures Disney, like, a comic series type thing, and Colossus of the Nile was one of them, and then the Treasure of the Ten Avatars was another one, so she mentioned some comics in there. So I love how basically, like, all the comics are what Scrooge did before, like, you know, he met the family and stuff. So all, like, the original stuff he did was just his previous, what he did previously. Let's see. What does Scrooge say? Like, what does he say? Like, I'm not an adventurer. Like, I'm not doing any adventuring or whatever.
It's like, his expeditions were boring and only to further his company. And so now...
No, but then she goes, like, I'm looking at a big room of gold that says different. What does he say right before that? Like, I don't remember, like,
no, I don't adventure.
Yeah, but that was, like, a Louis thing she did, you know, like, with the whole room of gold, you know, like, you did something for there to be that much gold in the room.
Her face when she says it is so cute.
Yeah. I love how Donald just stares at Scrooge like, really? Like, you did some pretty cool stuff. So, yeah, his expeditions to him were boring. And he left those days behind him. I love how, like, the marbles return, you know, back marbles. Careful, kids, he's counted them. So, yeah, cracks me up. The red, green, and blue. I thought, you know, like, I don't know, he picked them out, like, hey, they're red, green, and blue. Maybe they like those colors. Let me give them some marbles. But nope, he just happened to have those colors. Or, you know, they see Donald and Della see those colors. More like specifically Donald.
Any
like,
of us ever
you know,
kids.
These colors look really good together. So in the triplets, he's like, I'm going to just you in red, you're going to be blue, and you're going to be green.
Because of the marbles.
So yeah, I love how
like I like those marbles. They're yeah, fun.
I like those marbles. Like, hey, you know what? These kids are always gonna wear the same color.
And they're going to love it.
They love it. So yeah, I love how Scrooge is just like, don't touch anything, and then there's like the little shush, like pocket watch printer type thing. It's not really a printer, but you know, Della like I touched this before you said don't touch anything. So I picture her, you know, picking it up earlier, you know, and just holding it, you know, like kids do.
Oh,
you know?
Before that, though, Scrooge, he's just like, well, this is a corporate conquest. And Donald, he's just like, just another rich uncle.
Okay, is it just me or does he sound like he said, gotta eat the rich uncle?
Yeah.
What?
It really, we've listened to it so many times.
Just another rich uncle. Gotta eat the rich uncle.
How about showing some respect for your uncle?
Excuse me, this song isn't about you. Store up all that rage in the big rich uncle.
That's probably what he said. Gotta eat the rich uncle. Gotta eat him. I don't know, or he said gotta something else.
I don't know. And then Scrooge, how about showing a little respect for your uncle?
Yes.
Excuse me, but this song isn't about you.
Right?
Like, what the heck?
The song isn't about you. And then he, you know, continues on with...
Store up all that rage in the bin. Rich!
I love how Scrooge just goes and, like, pushes him back on the head with a cane. Like, okay, settle down. Be quiet now. So yeah,
and
so
then he gains on the marbles.
So then that's when Director 22 calls, and she was an agent, now she's a director, which was another thing, which confidential case files happened, and I guess she was an agent, but now she's become a director.
And also 22 is her initial because she's Bentina Beakley, and B is the second letter in the alphabet, so it's 22.
22. Oh yeah, because we were talking about that, and we're like, what would Scrooge's agent number be? And we're like, Scrooge... It would be SMD, and that was just, like, a lot of numbers that were, like, never mind. He's Scrooge. It's shorter. So, yeah. A22 calls, and she says, Captain Yellowbeak's ship has been located. And that was a Yellowbeak cameo. There's, like, so many cameos. So, basically, here's the rundown of Yellowbeak. There's a storyline originally developed for Mickey Mouse. It was like a feature cartoon called Morgan's Ghost, but it was never produced. And Oscar Liebeck was like a cartoon, right? Like getting stories for cartoons and stuff. He was given permission to look through Disney files, like old Disney files of cartoon ideas that were shelved. And he found Morgan's Ghost with over like 800 numbered sketches. And so, you know, it was basically all the work was pretty much done for that, but he adapted it into a Donald Duck comic story. So that was pretty cool, how they put that in there, but let's see, he adapted it into a Donald Duck comic, and it was a Disney comic story starring Donald Duck, when Donald and the triplets met a parrot, and then they wind up searching for the lost treasure. It was called Donald Duck Finds Pirate Gold. So yeah, it's like, and then the Yellowbeak has been, like, the parrot has been in several other things. We won't go over all of them. He's been in like we won't go over them. He's been in like this, and so yeah,
we won't go over him like this.
Yeah, he's made several appearances, and now he's in DuckTales. Cause why wouldn't he be in DuckTales? Yeah, and so then they go over. Let's see, Yellowbeak. The whole reason was because he stole the papyrus of binding, one of the most powerful artifacts known to man, and they've. Guess they've been on the lookout for it, and they finally find it. Let's see. Oh, and I love Della and Donald. You know, they're peeking. Because Scrooge, when he took the call, he went into, like, his meeting room. And so Donald and Della are just staring through the door. But I love how Della's standing on Donald. Mm-hmm. Just like, I can't see. Like, your big head's in the way. Like, let me just stand on you.
We literally have the same head.
That's from the trickening, huh? Yeah. Don't stretch my hat.
We have the same head. Yeah.
And one complaint I have for this episode, Detective, I've been having, you know, the one thing about this episode was the guitar string snapping Donald's eyes.
Like, that was like so... Okay. Oh my god.
Because I play guitar, and that's for some reason has always been a fear when I tune my guitar. I'm not joking. I tune my guitar and I kind of like squint because I have a fear of it snapping and whacking me in the eye. And I'm like, guess one of the writers of DuckTales had that same fear, you know? Like, okay, we're just gonna.
Well, I'm just like, oh yeah, that's happened to me before. It hurt. Let's add that.
Oh my gosh. That, I don't know why. That's like an irrational fear almost, like for it to snap you in the eye. But now DuckTales just like totally upped that fear. Like, oh!
But I love right before that how Della's just like, Yellowbeak, Bermuda Trapezoid, Phantom Island. Yeah, and Donald's just like, great band names.
Yeah, I love the Bermuda Trapezoid instead of triangle.
And awesome. I love how Scooge is like, his ship was lost. And you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
It's not a crime if it was lost to time. So yeah, Scrooge, you know, says, he's like, I'm a little occupied, but Beakley's like, I trust no one else. So yeah, and there's a bad guy in Shush. No. She's like, there's someone, like a mole in Shush that's, you know, we got to find this, whoever this is, and shut them down, because we can't have that, can we?
And then Della just busts in, like, we'll do it.
Yeah, like, we got it. And I love how she's holding Donald's hand, you know, like she just walks in, like, we're doing. But then Scrooge is like, I'm going alone on this, which that's, you know, going to Atlantis, you know, like, I'm going to go, I can do it myself. And then ends up taking the family with him.
I love in the next scene when he's packing, he packs the same clothes, three white undershirts and three waistcoat thingies.
From what? He packs the same suitcase from what?
No, he packs the same clothes in a suitcase.
Oh,
like
I know.
Like three of the same clothes.
Oh, I thought you meant he packs the same suitcase as in this episode. In fact, I was like, what?
And I was just like, why is this confusing?
I get what you mean. He packs this literally the same outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like in oh my gosh, I keep wanting to call it Spring Break.
Spring Break. Forbidden Fountain.
Yeah, in Forbidden Fountain when his suitcase flies open and
all those waistcoats and stuff fly out. Yep. Yeah, but I love how Della jumps out of the suitcase, you know, like, just, oh, that's lovely. It's like, you know, Webby coming out of the freezer in Moonlander, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just like, what? And I love how Scrooge, he's upgraded his suitcase from this episode to Forbidden Fountain, because in Forbidden Fountain, it's like the same color, but it's a different suitcase, so it's like he just got a new one over time.
This one was like an older handle, the other one was like a rolling...
Yeah, a nice new suitcase. But then, oh, what is it? Scrooge, he's like, he doesn't want his family coming along.
Yeah, but then she's like, we know you don't want family, but how about a pair of young sidekicks for this like, treacherous journey?
I hate sidekicks. Like I hate those even more. Like, I'm not doing that. Which is funny because, you know, later when Heron's, you know, like, I wish for his sidekicks to perish. It's like, well, that's not happening because he hates sidekicks. But then I love how she comes out of the trunk, like, unpaid interns? I'm like, Fenton.
Yeah. Yes, it is an unpaid
position. Yeah. Yeah, and so then, yeah, she's basically keep going, or, like, whatever, like, the heavies, you know? Like, we're the fists if something goes wrong. Like, we're gonna come in and stop it, you know?
How about some heavies? You might need some muscle to back you up.
Yeah, there
like,
we go.
They're kids.
It cracks me up. But then Scrooge is like, I love how he's like, Duckworth, like, he can find something around the house for you guys to do. And Duckworth's like,
it's like, I'll be happy to put the little ones to work, especially since you'll be paying me overtime.
Yeah, that reminded me of Tra-la-la when, you know, Scrooge is losing his mind in that episode. Well, what was it called? The Landers Tra-la-la, DuckTales, 1987. He's losing his mind, you know, people keep asking him for money to donate stuff, and then all the people that work for him, like Launchpad and stuff, is like, you're gonna pay me overtime, you know, and the triplet's like, we should get, allowance, you know, raise an allowance or something for, you know, us being put in danger all the time. So basically everyone's asking him, like, okay, I need more money from you.
Mm-hmm. I love where she's like, overtime. What am I made of money? And they go over a bump and a whole bunch of money just like pours out of his pockets.
That was incredible. Just like that was like one of the best parts of the episode, you know, just like he just does he always have that much in his pocket, you know, like just in case you need money.
And then Donald, his song.
Money hands and money feet, made of money, my rich Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah, but then Donald's like, please, like, let us come too, please, you know. But so it's like, oh, he wants to come too, you know, on the adventure. He's not just like, I don't care. So, yeah, let's see. So, but I love how Scrooge just like puts the money back in his pocket. Like, he just grabs a
handful.
But he just picks up one handful and just puts it in his pocket. Like, I'm gonna pick that back up. So I love Scrooge. Like, I don't really have a say in the matter, do I? You don't.
You don't.
It's like, just leave the guitar.
You can't mute me, old man.
Yeah. I love how literally everything he says, he's just strumming to it.
I know. It's all music.
Scrooge has perfect aim into the trash, which it's funny because, you know, later Donald goes and just pulls it out of the trash, you know? Like, I'm going to keep that. Let's see. So, yeah, then they go to a small airport and the pilots are obviously Heron and Bradford. So then Della's just like, I love how she's like, I'm an ace pilot at Outrunner 2 flight simulator, you know, like, well, that's where you got your piloting skills. But in Day Trip of Doom, Della states she's been flying since before Donald could walk. And I love how this is like her referring to all the video games she played, you know, because Donald could obviously walk the first time she flew. But she's just talking about, you know, I used to stay up and play video games like before Donald could walk.
That counts, you know. I wonder if she's younger, though.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she could walk before him.
She wanted to, so she could. Nothing can stop Della Duck.
Yeah. So then Scrooge writes a check to Heron for the flight. I love, come on, Donna and Dello. Then Donald, am I Donna or Dello? Which was like, totally like, when Dewey, you know, Scrooge, when are we going to get there, Scrooge?
In a moment, Sonny Jim.
Yeah. Pretty funny. Let's see, but then Della, you know, like, to adventure! And Scrooge's like, no. And she's like, to business trip! Like, man, it's not as cool. But then Della, you know, narrates, you know, while they're in the plane narrating, like, Dewey did in Treasure of the Found Lamp, you know, narrating what's going on, you know? But then I love how at the end she's like, what exactly are we going to go get? Like, okay, I just got to that part and I don't know what we're trying to find here. So then Scrooge, you know, goes through the whole story of the papyrus.
Sounds like platypus.
So, you know, Scrooge is like, anything you ask of the papyrus will happen.
Papyrus. Just think of papyra. Papaya. Go on.
Anything you ask of it will happen. So be careful. But I love it. Like, that kind of reminded me of in Typhoon, he asked, like, when they're like, okay, there's stuff happening on our front doorstep. Like, something's going on, and it's someone's fault. So he's like, did anyone do this? Or, like, did anyone make an improperly worded wish? Which, you know, he's probably thinking of this, like, you know, like the papyrus would do that, you know, if you improperly worded something, so...
He's like, did the time come? Did they find the papyrus?
Yeah. Did someone find the papyrus? Like, my rightful heir didn't tell me. Like, it's one of the kids.
Absolutely.
Like, Alkid Dewey. So, yeah. The papyrus, it was a gift to the pharaohs, but war broke out. Obviously, that's what's going to happen if you give a gift to the pharaohs. War always breaks out. And so then Yellowbeak ended up stealing it with his crew. And I love how after the story, Donald and Della just kind of, like, look straight ahead, smiling, like, this is good. This is good. I'm liking this so far. But then 22 calls Scrooge and says Black Heron was sighted at his point of departure with another conspirator. And Scrooge, he's like, I'm not worried. But then Heron reveals herself as a pilot. And I was thinking about this. If I was a villain, I'd probably be like, Karen, you know, you're not patient with anything. You're like, this is an opportune moment. You know, mm-hmm. like, I just gotta reveal myself here because it's like perfect timing, you know? She looks weird in like that pilot hat.
I know. Thing, you know, she just looks like, bald because her hair is always so high.
Yeah, she just looks like she's got, you know, you realize how tiny your little head is. And then Bradford, like, wait, you're doing this now? Like, what the heck? Wait. So then they both jump out of the plane. But Heron, I like her, like, almost like a, I don't know, what would you call it? Like, the jumps, not jumpsuit, like, the flight suit?
Aviator.
Sky, what was it called? Oh, the one when you're, like, you know, flying, but you've got, like, the whole, oh, wingsuit.
Okay.
Wingsuit.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the wings and stuff, so pretty cool. Bradford has so much to learn. You know, as he's, you know, falling out of the plane, you know, he pulls the parachute, but he's just like, ah, oh my gosh. What's happening? I'm going to die. Even though the parachute opened successfully, I'm going to die. So, yeah. But I love Della, like, man, this is already the best. You know, just like, that's it. Can of Scrooge McDuck, all right. So then Scrooge tells the kids to take the yoke while he closes the door. And then Della, like, says the line, nothing can stop Della Duck.
Mm-hmm. Her signature.
Her signature line. Named an episode after it, even. And then Olive, she's like, except the ground, which that's, like, something Launchpad says all the time, you know? Like, family truly is the greatest. Oh, no, the ground. You know, just like, it's always the ground. Come on.
Why are you there? No, it's like, I know why you're there, but why are you there?
So then, I love Della's voice, how it slowly gets more, like, older Della as the episode goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And at this moment, this is, like, when the switch happens, you know? Because in the beginning, she sounds like this super tiny little kid. But as she goes on, it sounds more like older Della.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the lines. Nothing can stop Della Duck. You know, and it's like, oh, her voice is changing. You know, her first flight was like Dewey's first flight, mm-hmm. except she didn't crash.
I am so sorry.
I love though when Raiders of the Doomsday Vault, you know how she, when they jump out of the plane, she like slides down, but then Dewey just like pops through.
And then rolls out.
And rolls out like a little snowman. Oh my gosh. And so I love how while they're still flying, old Scrooge still doesn't take the yoke, you know, just like mm-hmm. he's just standing there like, I'm gonna die, like, you know, she's gonna do just as well as I could, so might as well let her fly. So in the end, she saves them right before they die. So, oh, dropping stuff over here. Thus, Della becomes the pilot of all their missions. He's mm-hmm. like, well, she knows how to fly the best, because, I mean, Scrooge attempted flying in Last Crash of the Sun Chaser, you know, and he, like,
that didn't, he like, crashed on a tip of a...
Yeah, a little launchpad, like, we crashed, but we're still in the air?
I know.
Like, what's happening?
We crashed, and why are we still in the air?
Yeah, so they come across the Phantom Islands, and then you go over to, like, where Heron and Bradford were, then they landed. Like, more like Heron landing and Bradford just face-planting. Awesome. And then Bradford questions, I'm dropping stuff again. And then Bradford questions the method they use. Like, why didn't we land safely and then capture them? You know, and Heron's like, no, we're not doing that. You know, where's the fun in that? But you think Bradford, you know, like so realistic, you know, it's like, there's so much sense behind what I do. Why does no one get what I'm trying to accomplish? You know? Like, and he says, like, her showboating will cost them the papyrus. And she's just like, she said, like, there's no way the family's going to survive that. But I love, you know, the plane comes down and plane lands and we're Donald alive. And Della.
Yay!
Just like, that was hilarious. And then I love how they just stand on top of the plane.
I know Scrooge jumps down.
Yeah, and I love Heron just kind of like, oh my gosh, they didn't die. Like, dang it. So then they just keep walking. But then Scrooge softens for a moment, telling Della, like, that was incredible! But then he quickly, like, switches back, you know, like, incredibly dangerous. But I love the way Della just jumps to him, like, she jumps down, then just full trust, you know, like a trust, mm-hmm. ultimate trust fall there, you know? Like. But then I love how he catches her with one arm, like, just so wobbly, like, he almost drops her. Like, doing that move now, he'd totally ace it, you know? Just, like, catching, like, no problem. But then, I love how, yeah, he catches Della and, like, almost drops her and sets her down. But then Donald just kind of, like, falls into his arms, you know?
I love how, like, in this, he's, like, first around the kids. But, like, when the triplets come, it's almost like he's not used to them. But then he, like, almost remembers what it's like to be what around kids again. What it was like
to be around the, yeah, around children.
He's like, oh, right, you have to catch them when they fall. Oh, right.
Oh, you gotta prevent them from dying. I gotta do that myself.
It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
They can die more easily. So then, you know, they don't see the ship on the beach, so they move on. And Scrooge trying to get a signal while Donald's jamming out on the rocks. You know, and then Della, like, where is this pirate ship anyway? And I love how she, like, gets tense with excitement, you know, just like, oh, like, where is it? But then Scrooge, like, Donald, like, just stop banging on the rocks. And, like, you got a problem with artistic expression? It's like, oh, my gosh.
Do you even know the definition of that?
Scrooge, like, no, you're gonna give away our position to the bad guys. Like, stop. And, you know, I love, you know, he's a busy man, and being dead could throw off the entire schedule, you know, just a little bit. And then Donald, like, gotta embrace the experience, man. There's more to life than work and money. I'm like, ah, oh, spoken like a true future Mervonin. Because, you know, yeah. He, like, becomes, like,
you said Mervonin for a second. I'm like,
I messed up my words. Mervonin, you know, welcome home, fellow Mervonin. Water splash. Pick up the water. whenever there's, like, a bunch of water, I just pick it up in my hands and drop it. Mervonin ways. Yeah, that was a Mervonin. Peace and love. You know that chili we say we love so much? It's just okay. Like, I love the sits up, like, it's okay. No, it's not okay.
And then I love Scrooge. His face when he first mentions the chili. He's like,
you know, what the about chili it? We say we love so much, the eyes just pop up and, like, what about my chili?
sounds good.
So I love Scrooge, like, said the future freeloader. And I just pictured Donald in the houseboat in the pool.
In the pool.
Awesome. So, yeah. Then what is Donald does his other song.
Never gonna smile on an ad in the green. All he can think of is his wealth, so obscene.
Like, literally, so many songs. It's amazing. Yeah, but then he sets off a trap on his harp vines that he's going. Mm-hmm. And it's like Hera knew the kids wouldn't be able to keep their hands off anything. And so she, like, sets a trap on this. Like, they're bound to touch it, you know, just set off my trap. Very long trap. I love how the family just watches as, you know, the trap, like, unfolds. Like, okay, what's happening now? Just like, let's go. So then, yeah, they just watch. But I love how Della and Scrooge look over at Donald, like, oh, Donald's the victim. It was like in The Trickening, you know. Launchpad's the evil mechanic. I'm his demonic helper. And Donald's the victim. You're the victim. Did I say Donald's the evil helper?
No.
Della's demonic helper. And Donald, you're the victim. Yeah, so Donald was the victim here, too. And I love right before he got flung, he's just like, oh, like, dang it, it had to be me. Like, really? And then he's like, Philly! And it's literally, like, with a rope wrapped around his ankle and pulls him up. It sounds like he slaps, like, whacks his face into the ground. Like,
poor Donald.
Poor buddy. Yep. The bad luck unfolds already. He's so young. So the trap went according to plan. He saw the ship. And imagine if he got, like, flung in the air, but he was facing the other way and he didn't even see the ship. Face. You know, just like,
oh, dang,
what if he missed it? And was just like, oh, okay. Like, he's just facing the other way, you know, looking at the ocean. Just like, oh, good view.
Pretty.
Yeah, and so I love how Scrooge makes no effort to catch him as he falls. And Della, too, you know, she'd probably show a little more emotion on that, you know, like, he's gonna die. Yeah, he's gonna die. Nope. The vine caught him. Just like, he'll be fine.
Or she's having, like, I can't remember if he said, I think Louis, she's like, Launchpad has, oh my gosh, like, gotten hurt so many times. I'm convinced he's immortal. She's probably having that moment. Like, Donald has gotten hurt so many times. I'm convinced he's immortal.
Wait, who's that? Oh, Louis said that about Launchpad. Oh, what episode? I forgot.
Was that oh, Louis? It's Most Dangerous Game Night.
Oh, Jack Louis did it up and... yeah. I'm convinced he's immortal. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that was gonna bug me.
I was like, he'll be fine. But you know, it's Donald you're watching when he's unfazed by the fact he almost died, you know, and just go straight to, there's a ship over there on the peak, you know, just like, they're like, oh my gosh, I could have been dead, you know. Otherwise, you know, the triplets, on the other hand, they would have been traumatized when near death, you know, just like, I almost died. Like, let's take a moment just to sit and think about this, you know. He's just like, moving on.
What is the meaning of life? No.
So then, you know, they're like, the papyrus must have caused that. And I'm like, oh, sure. Blame the papyrus. It's like in Mulan. Oh, sure. Save the horse. So, yeah, Scrooge's like, you found it, lad! You know, and Scrooge and Della, at this moment, they both have super interesting faces. Because Scrooge is almost like, I don't know, like, are you angry? But the words coming out make you sound excited. But he's just like, oh, you found it! You know, just, but he's like, I don't know. And then Della's just like sitting there with a weird smile on her face.
It's awesome. It's like a dewy smile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Della reminds me, she looks to me the most like dewy as a kid.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like her enthusiasm.
And just her face just looks most like dewy for some reason. But then I love how Della jumps like on Donald and snaps the rope with her teeth. Then Donald screams for dear life. You know, just like, oh my gosh. I think I'm going to fall a foot. So then Heron and Bradford watch this all on the cliff above. But I love in the background, you know, Heron and Bradford are talking now, but in the background you see the family, like, they just keep walking. I don't know why I like that so much. So then Heron's like, this is the plan. We're going to let the family lead the way, and when they find the artifact.
When they find the artifact.
The artifact, he's like, we'll take it, you know, and then Bradford, like, that's actually quite brilliant. But then Bradford has to deal with another issue. It's Heron wants to use the papyrus. And I love the examples, though, he used of, like, yo, let's say you get it, you ask for ultimate power. Like, you'll be blasted by a trillion bolts of electricity. Like, I just picture ultimate power. You're like, that is ultimate power.
Instant regret.
Yeah. And then unimaginable wealth would be lead to being crushed by invisible treasure. I'm like, unimaginable wealth. It's just invisible. That's
oh my gosh,
that was just awesome. I love the dangerously literal. That was just awesome. And I was like, Bradford really needs to team up with Gyro or break in Gyro's lab, clone himself, and so he'll just have a bunch of himself to deal with. They're all level-headed, they're all agents of Foul, and they're all sane. So I don't know why he didn't do that. He's like, that's, I don't know, out of proportion. We can't do that. You can't clone yourself. That's crazy. I don't know. Nothing crazier than having Heron on his team. So then I like, why did Heron set another trap?
Why would Steel be cut on his team?
Because he's just from Darkwing Duck.
Because he's big. No.
I love, though, in off subject, Impossible, how Darkwing's like, this guy with a steel beak, you know, fought. I love how they got Steelbeak to fight Darkwing, though, because he's from Darkwing.
Uh-huh.
So they got, you know, Darkwing fight Steelbeak, so Steelbeak. Steelbeak.
What was it, like,
wow, my words are off.
Some dude with Steelbeak
didn't catch his name. Okay. Why did Heron set another trap? You know, because Bradford gets caught up. Like, I forgot I said that one. Just like... precaution for something, I don't know. But then Scrooge recounts his Treasure of the Golden Sun story, mentioning the end of part 5 of the pilot for DuckTales 1987, Too Much of a Gold Thing, when the treasure was buried and Scrooge escaped to the river and El Capitan was left to dig in the dirt all alone. So yeah, when I heard that, I was like, oh, wait, that was an episode. So yeah. Yeah, just like blah, 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 what? So I love how they do that. Like, literally, DuckTales 1987 was all Scrooge's previous adventures, basically. Except the family wasn't with them. It was just if you took the family out of it and literally.
You said DuckTales 1987.
Yeah. was Scrooge's, everything he used to do was his past adventures.
Oh, right. Got it.
Keep it together.
Like, wait, what?
Focus. So, yeah. Yeah, what he left out was the triplets, Mrs. B and Webby, and Launchpad were there. So, yeah, he forgot that part. Yeah, DuckTales 1987, the history of Scrooge McDuck. So Scrooge states, let's see. Scrooge says, you know, that whole adventure he did with Al Capitan and everything, he was like, that was not worth it. And he's like, I didn't even get anything. I didn't even get a souvenir. I'm like, well, if you recall, you got a golden plane out of it. True. But again, there's slight variation to the story, so I guess he didn't get a golden plane out of it. Recommend watching that episode. It's funny. Literally all of them are funny. Della and Donald care more about the adventure than the reward. And, you know, Donald's like, some journeys are worth more than treasure, man. Like, sounds like you got a great story out of it. Like, and then he sings his enlightening song that brings down.
Rich uncle, not so bad, was a misunderstood hero. But now he's a gritty husk of a duck, dead inside.
Oh my gosh. But then, you know, Scrooge goes from pleased to very, very concerned and uncomfortable. You know, just like, okay, what the heck? Like, just stop. You're kind of creeping me out now. So then, you know, they almost fall off the cliff. It's nice that he stopped them on this one.
Scrooge, like, almost totally walked off of it and reminded me of Gandra.
Pulling a Gandra. split sword.
Yeah, when she couldn't see, she's like, so much confidence in this.
Like, let me just walk off here.
Walked off.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, Scrooge, you know, they see the ship, you know, like, oh, it's right there. But then Scrooge, like, it's too treacherous to climb, but Della, I can jump it! Just, like, the confidence she had there, like, but I love how Donald's just like, no, wait, like, oh my gosh, you're gonna die.
After she jumped.
Like, literally, okay, this is what happened in my head. I was like, that's pretty, like, far. Like, how are they gonna get across? And then I was literally, like, when Della said, I can jump, and I was like, no, wait, like, what the heck? And then Donald literally said what
and
I was thinking.
And the way Scrooge caught her reminds me of, 87 Cent, no, not that one, The Great Dime Chase. When Louie goes to jump in the bin, but Scrooge catches him by his hoodie with his cane.
Did he catch her by the cane?
I don't think it was. Actually, I can't remember if it was by the cane or not, but the way he just caught her and pulled her back. I don't think it was by the cane.
Yeah, it's just like, just, you know, the fact he grabbed her, just like, where the heck are you going? Here, let me check. No, he just, no, he just reaches out her.
His look of, oh my gosh, right before he gets
like,
her.
Oh my gosh, she's actually gonna jump. Like, what the heck?
Just the way he pulled her back reminded me of Great Dime Chase.
So funny. And then Della, you're right, Donald, you do it. Like, I don't know what you were thinking there. Just like, but I love how he just stares at her, making like another Louie face, like, I'm gonna die if I do that.
Because I'm older doesn't mean I'm immortal.
Yeah, she's probably like, hey, you flew like over 1,000 feet in the air earlier. Like, just do that again.
You're fine.
And just land on the other side. And then, yeah, I don't know. How's she gonna get over that after? Then Scrooge's like, oh, just hop on my back. And Della, but I'm afraid we'll break every bone in your fragile little body. It's like,
the way she talks is so cute.
Yeah, that reminded me of this Woo, you know, like, when their kids are in the garage, you know, and Scrooge is, like, going to go fight their ghost
pirate
type thing. Man. Yeah, but then Huey, you know, like, wait, come back, you're old! You know, just like, don't do it.
I love how that's the first episode with Manny and he was a bad guy.
Yeah, right? Like, Manny's been there from episode one. It's like, yeah, I remember watching, like, the first time I watched, actually, Woo wasn't the first episode I watched.
Yeah, the first one
But the first time I watched that, it was just like, what the heck? Like, that's just the weirdest night. And then Manny appears later, I'm like, wait, that's the horse guy.
Now he has a lab coat. Okay.
Yeah, but then I love Scrooge, like, get on before I change my mind. Like, that's it. I'm gonna jump across. You're gonna stay here. Jump it yourself. You're gonna die and I won't have to deal with you. Messed up. So then he pulls out the Von Drake action cane PPK. Second time he's, well, technically the first time he's used the pogo stick method. I mean, yeah. Unless he's used it before.
But second time we've seen it.
Yeah, second time we've seen it. First, well, I guess I say first, but it's like the second time he uses it in Impossibin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love how we're just like, he's using it as a pogo stick, and then like the next episode we get it again. And so then Scrooge, when they come into the ship, you know, I love it. He's like, bless me, bagpipes. And Della, a what? What? Do you know what a bagpipe is?
No.
So then you see a dead yellow beak writing on the papyrus.
It's the papyrus.
The last will and testament of Captain Yellowbeak. This accursed papyrus has only brought grief. I asked it for escape from the Spaniards, and it shipwrecked us here on this mountain. I asked it for water, and my crew drowned on dry land. And so, I ask the papyrus to free me from this curse once and for all.
So basically, the thing killed him. Yeah. Pretty dark.
He committed suicide with it.
Unintentionally. But, yeah. Messed up. So then, I love Scrooge, you know, finally gets signal in the most relatable way, you know? Trying to get signal. Mm-hmm. You're like bending over backwards and hanging out a window. I don't know. Trying to find signal. You get it. You're like, yes! So then I love how he tells Duckworth, like, keep the meetings. We're about done here. But then Donald and Della are like, Uncle Scrooge, like, what the heck? Like, we're here in this ship. Like, what the heck? But then Scrooge, you know, like, I'm going to call Shush to send an extraction team.
Extraction? It sounds like so weird.
Yeah, and of course, now they get into an argument of them wanting to stay and him wanting to go, you know, and then Donald's other song.
Sellout, uncle, my uncle the sellout.
Not the time, lad.
But then Scrooge is, like, super annoyed, you know, just like, not that time, like, just stop, okay? And then Bradford, you know, sneaks through to grab the papyrus. But then when he hears Heron laugh, I love how he's like, oh, really, like, come on, I could have snuck in, grabbed it, snuck out, and they would have been like, where the heck did it go? You know, and just undone with it. But then Heron just like, okay, you just, next time I'm going to go by myself. So yeah, Heron, like, time to rewrite history. Which what quote did?
Dewey says it in.
Does he say rewrite history in Challenge of the Senior Junior Workers?
Yes.
But it's history, so let's rewrite history.
Katsua. We decide, okay, Challenge of the Senior Junior Woodchucks. That is a long name. So for the podcast, you know, we're constantly referring to it and stuff. We just called it COTJSW. We're like, that takes too long. So we just ended up calling it Katsua. So if I ever accidentally say that, I'm talking about Challenge of the Senior Junior Woodchucks.
Katsua.
What does he say? Yeah, I was rewrite history too. I thought it'd be like solve mystery. I don't know. Add something else to the quote. Not the quote, the song. So then, let's see. Della runs like the boys did in Impossibin, you know, running towards Beakley, you know, on the roof, trying to take her out. She just runs like that, like just, I'm just running. I don't know where. I'm gonna beat you. But then Scrooge recognizes Bradford from the Christmas party, you know? Just like, hey, you were at the Christmas party. He's foul during the Christmas party, you know, because he had no hair. He was, well, not no hair. It was just what was on top of his head. Let's see. And I'm like, rethunk about last Christmas and stuff. I rethunk about it. Where did Scrooge go when he stepped out of the party? Because, you know, when he walks, you know, the young Scrooge walks out and, you know, he's just like, young me, old me, you know? And so, like, he just stepped out for a minute, you know, just like, I'm going to take a break, you know? Just like, I'm going to be out. So then, I don't know, like, I just thought, like, where'd he go? You know, he's constantly leaving. Because even later, you know, in the episode when there's, like, my first Christmas in Duckburg, you don't see the young Scrooge anywhere, you know?
True.
Like, he just, I don't know, left to go do something. Yeah, but it made me think, like, did he see the old Scrooge, you know, had an outfit changed? Like, hey, old me has an orange waistcoat on. Like, you know, maybe I should change my outfit, you know? Like, would you say it was the old or the young Scrooge who's responsible for the outfit change, you know?
Well, it's the same person.
Same person, but, you know, if you follow Launchpad's theory of time is just always happening, you know? It's always going on, like,
I don't think too hard about time.
Well, you gotta, apparently, in DuckTales, it's very important. It's, like, a very important thing to think about.
We have no time. Well, technically.
Technically. So, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I just thought about that. I love how he's, like, he's sitting there, you know, going back to the ship and stuff. He's sitting there trying to recall who Bradford was, but he's, like, rubbing the phone on his head, you know, trying to recall who Bradford was. But then he pieces everything together, you know. But then he's like, I gotta call 22. But then Heron took his phone, smashed it. And now we know why he had a spare. It was like Mark Beeks, you know, in Infernal Internship with all the spares, except he only had two. So, let's see. The kids go from looking, you know, totally knocked out, like, on a bunch of boxes to, like, whatever you want to call the crazy energy they got. You know, just like, let's keep fighting. I don't know. So then Heron's got finger tasers. Creepy. And also a ballpoint pen for a finger. Like Gizmo Duck.
That's not a ballpoint pen.
Or not a ballpoint pen, but a calligraphy dip pen. I know, sorry, the calligraphy person over here.
Sorry, I'm big on pens.
Yeah, and so she's got a pen for a finger, like Gizmo Duck. And who's Gizmo Duck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then she writes, like, she asked for the Scrooge's sidekicks to perish. And, like, let's take a moment to appreciate Heron signing like she's a Disney character, you know, like her all fancy handwriting and stuff.
The flourish at the end of it.
Yep. Moment's over. Okay, let's keep going. But then Donald, you know, like, oh, we don't want to perish. And then Della the whole time just, like, screaming, almost like in a crying type thing. But then just like, oh, my gosh, no magic can kill me. I'm the chosen one. Just like, oh, that was awesome. And then she's, like, punching the air, like, I can do anything. This part was predictable, but still good. Just like, you know, they're not my sidekicks. They're my family, you know. But then Heron just, like, gross. Yeah, that was kind of a dumb move for Scrooge to say, because what if she just wrote after, like, I wish for Scrooge's family to perish, you know, like, better hurry and get the papyrus before she writes that.
It's like, oh no, it didn't work, won't do better.
Yeah, like, literally, she started writing, like, she better not be writing that, you know, like, fine then, I wish for Scrooge to perish, like, literally, like, 100 things, but no, she wishes for Yellowbeak to come back to life. Long live Yellowbeak. And Corey Burton, who voices Ludwig, also voiced Yellowbeak. Mm-hmm. So, pretty fun fact. But I love how, you know, Yellowbeak stands up to fight and you just see Heron in the background. You're running, you know, like, see ya, suckers. But then...
deal with that.
Yeah, exactly. So then up above deck, I love Bradford, you know, chasing after her, like, give me the papyrus! But then he, like, grabs her by the leg and they both fall over. Awesome. And then the DuckTales fight scenes, they're so incredible because there's so many small things that each character does. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's just them standing there, you know, just like, who do I fight? You know, just, like, even the random stuff. Like, did you see the way they kicked or the way they, like, I don't know, just...
fell
over. It's just, like, so funny. So you gotta, like, watch it however many times each character, you know, let's say there's 5 characters, you gotta watch the scene 5 times to watch just each character. So mm-hmm. Pretty awesome. So then the papyrus is out of their hands thanks to Bradford. I love the line here and says, like, you want to take the world, like, you want to take over the world so badly, then be a villain and take it already, you know, just like, take the world, weep. Be a villain. But then the kids charge Heron. And then, like, dang, Heron just throws Della off the ship. Like, oh my gosh. I would have loved to see Della just, like, she probably, like, grabbed hold of the anchor, because you see in one scene the anchor's, you know, hanging over the ship, but it's just, you know, mm-hmm. hanging there. So she probably, I don't know, grabbed onto the anchor, then climbed up the rope or something. Yeah, for Donald, you know, you're totally expecting this, like, anger builds up, mumbling to himself, face goes red, charged with fists in the lead, But what we got was Donald the Madman, just like, oh my gosh, like, because, you know, his anger builds up. But instead of his face going red, he goes off like, you know, the train sound, just like, oh my gosh, he's crazy. Like,
he exploded.
Exactly. Like, this, I wonder, like, he seems so chill at the beginning of the episode, like he's never gone this off the edge, you know, mm-hmm. into the deep end. So I feel like this is the first time he's gotten angry like that before. And yeah, it proves his love for Della in the beginning of his rage. Because, let's see, whatever happened to Donald Duck, we learn that in his anger, he lashes out irresponsibly. But the anger was channeled, you know, through his need to protect the boys. And now we learn that his rage began when his sister was in danger. So mm-hmm. he had rage. He got his rage. And then now he lashed out uncontrollably.
Oh, he's so cute. He's such a great character.
Yeah, whatever happened to Donald Duck, that episode was just like, ah. I still remember watching it at my sister's house. We were all like, oh my
gosh. You guys watched it without me.
Sorry. It was awesome.
I know.
So yeah, his rage began when his sister was in danger. But then I love Della. She comes up like, Donald, never mind. And he's just like jumping, beating the life out of Aaron. So then Scrooge fights Yellowbeak for a second. I love how Yellowbeak stops for a second looking like dead, like just shuts down, you know?
I know, it's like when you're a skeleton, you can't tell if he's dead or not.
Yeah, I love, like, that's, like, the worst type of thing. Like, reminded me of Terror of the Terraformians when the rock's, like, what is it? Like, oh, the rock's gone. And Louis's like, oh, that's way creepier. You know, it's just, like, when he's not moving, it's way creepier. Like, oh. So then the bug, you know, Yellowbeak comes up. But then, the bug, like, centipede or millipede or whatever, goes, like, through his eye, like, up into his eye. It reminded me of, like, Indiana Jones, the Temple of the Forbidden Eye at Disneyland, like the part when you're going through the room, you know, with all the bugs on the wall, like just the sound it made, the crawling sound. That's just the sound. That's what I heard. I was like, oh, I don't like bugs. So yeah, it was weird. He's got, Yellowbeak has a tongue and like a throat, but he doesn't have eyes or brain, but he's got a tongue. Weird. So then Scrooge is going to fall off the plank. I love it. It's like, be careful, man. You're going to fall. But I love when he falls over, you know, on the plank, you see some coins fall out of his pocket, you know? Because, you know, he's got streams of money that can just fall out. I love Scrooge, though. Like, curse me, guilt, this is fun.
Surprised he doesn't have zippers on his pockets.
Right? Zip up the money. Keep it safe. Because I'm surprised he didn't, like, have more of a reaction to him losing his coins. You know, like, no, they're gone. You know, just like, ooh. So yeah, I'm like, curse me kilts, this is fun. Like, where else does he say that? I feel like he says
curse me kilts if I miss trouble in Woo.
Yeah, but... got, curse me kilts montage!
Curse me kilts! Curse me kilts! Curse me kilts! Curse me kilts!
Curse me kilts!
Curse me kilts!
Curse me kilts!
So then Della shoots the cannon backwards. I love how, you know, Yellowbeak turns around and then Scrooge, like, looks over his shoulder. But then I love how when Scrooge goes and jumps out of the way, you see, like, grab his top hat so it doesn't, like, fly off his head. Like, Della got a strike! And then Della, like, double dead pirate! So, yeah. Then he sees, yeah, you know, they look up and see Bradford climbing up to get the papyrus. But then, like, Scrooge goes and he, like, cuts the rope with his cane to, like, allow him to get up to Bradford. I'm like, did he cut it with his cane? I'm like, well, I guess Della can cut rope with her teeth. Or vines with her teeth. Yeah, awesome. And then I love how it's, like, literally every villain. Not every villain. Like, what every villain should do to get rid of their enemies is just try to push them off. Because you always think, like, there's this epic fight scene going on in something. You're like, why didn't they just push him, you know, just like, so Bradford attempted it, but, you know, you don't trigger that one with Scrooge. Bradford probably, if Scrooge pushed Bradford probably would have fallen. So then Yeah, so at this point, I was kind of like, okay, so how's he going to forget that, like, who Bradford is, you know? Like, what are they going to do here? And then, like, Bradford, he truly wants to avoid all this trouble, you know? But then Scrooge's like, you made a powerful enemy today, you know? And Scrooge will tear the world apart to find him. And I love how, you know, Bradford in his mind was like, he's going to tear apart the world. Like, we got to stop him, you know? So then, you know, the writing on the papyrus was good planning on Bradford's part, you know, like, as far as the ducks are concerned, I was never here. And I was just like, whoa, that was good. And then Scrooge just like, what? Like, we're in this whole blah, 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 whatever he did. But then I love how he just like goes back, you know, like probably. Yeah, he probably went back to right before they saw Bradford, you know, like, I just found a signal, and now I'm here. Oh, there's a papyrus. Like, there it is. So, awesome. And he's just, you know, picks up the papyrus, like, oh, yay, this is it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Del and Donald had their minds wiped as well. So, you know, you see they were probably in the middle of starting to fight Heron because, you know, she appeared behind them. And so then they're sitting there fighting, and all of a sudden their minds get wiped, like, wait, what the heck just happened? Like, what am I? Oh, Heron's here, you know. And then that's when Heron got the upper hand, you know, grabbed them in their confusion. So then Scrooge starts writing on the papyrus, and I love how Heron fires like warning shots, like she's not gonna shoot the kids even after she threatened them. So
what are you writing? No writing.
And so he asks that the papyrus be lost once more until the rightful heir of Scrooge McDuck can find the final resting place. He's like, if you hurt my niece and nephew, like, no one's going to find the papyrus again. I was like, well, that was very well thought as well. Like, smart.
Or you could just say, like, Donald and Della won't die.
Pray that Heron disappears. The end.
Heron goes away. There we go.
Yes. Basically, but no, I guess they did that just to make it even cooler, you know? Just like now, they did it just so you have an even bigger mystery. Like, oh, what now? Like, there's a papyrus thrown into the mix now? So, yeah, they did that just for sole purpose of mystery. He literally, like, rewrote history. I love that. Solve mysteries, finding Della, rewrite history, find a papyrus. Mm-hmm. Stranger out to find you.
Moment of silence.
When's that one gonna come in? So, yeah, I had something else. Oh, yeah. Scrooge, you know, I love how he's writing, and most of the words he's saying are what's on the papyrus, but there's also, he says, he doesn't write until the rightful heir of Scrooge McDuck can find your final resting place. He writes until, the kin of Scrooge McDuck finds your final resting place. And then he wrote, like, a little, like, smiley face with a winking eye, just, like, cracks me up. So then Heron literally runs off the edge to try to get it. And losing her arm is pretty common, like, a pretty common thing for her, too. And Della, we're actual kid adventurers! And then, like, Donald, wait, kid adventurer? Like, that's a band name! Or is it a solo act? It's, like, awesome. So then Scrooge calls, who does he call? Does he call Duckworth or 22?
One of them.
Okay, so he calls 22 to send an extraction team. Like, I gotta get back to Deckburg and, you know, figure out who I'm gonna get to hand off his day-to-day business duties so he can spend more time adventuring with Donald and Della. It's so cute. And Donald, like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, like, whatever. It's, like, awesome. So then it goes back to the bin. And the seagull outside the bin has got to be fake because he's always there.
I mean, he does have seagull. What's it called? He
doesn't move.
Oh my gosh. Seagull cameras.
Yeah, maybe it's a camera. Ah.
I've said that before and you said no.
Really? I don't remember. Was that maybe in Moonlander? I know we were talking about it in Moonlander.
I think it might have been.
That just means I wasn't listening to what you were saying.
You're like, no.
I was probably thinking of what else, what's on the next list. I don't know, sorry, it might be a camera. So then I love how in the office Scrooge the globe that Della broke,
Is all taped up.
Is all taped up, yes. And so then Bradford walks in. And, you know, Scrooge's like, you got an impeccable resume. And 22 highly recommended him. And I was like, 22 highly like, she knew, like, you didn't think, like, she knew Bradford pretty well, I guess, then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so then in Impossibin, she's probably freaking out. Either she knows who he is, like, he's foul. Ooh. Or she just knew him really well and then was, like, super shocked when she found out he was foul and then was, like, paranoid, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
I trusted this guy. Like, now I can't trust anyone and foul could be anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So that might have been kind of why she was freaking out so much, you know? Like, I trusted him and, yeah, now it could be Donald. Spy probably isn't Donald. So then Scrooge states, like, I love it. He's like, my business can be chaotic at times. But then Bradford reassures him, like, I will ring in that chaos. And so then he needs a level-headed ally. But I love, like, Scrooge, like, he's, like, sitting there talking. But he looks so, he's, like, so happy, you know, and just, like, so carefree. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, I need, like, someone to take over McDuck Enterprises. But I love how he, like, clenches his fist on, like, McDuck Enterprises. Just, like, gets super tense. But then Scrooge starts, you know, I love how he's sitting there talking, you know, like, yes, wait, I remember you. But then just, like, it's almost like it's a Christmas party. But then Bradford, the, like, one bead of sweat is like, oh, you do? So it's like, hey, you were at my Christmas party. Like, we're practically old kin. I love that one. Just like, no, you, I know you already. Like, yeah, this is going to be great. We're already buddies. So then Scrooge is so oblivious right now. It's sad. Just how the oblivion here, and then then you go back to Impossibin, you know, like how
the double crossing dick,
like he did this and this and this. Like, he's so mad at Bradford because, I mean, he was his kid.
I don't like being lied to.
That was fucking great. That was in Infernal Internship, or
yeah
Infernal Internship. So then I love this screen, just like, you're the exact dull, stingy type I need. You know, just because he, like, gives him a rundown, you know, like, yep, you're perfect. But then Bradford, like, this looks like the start of a beautiful friendship. And then the episode ends. But I love how Scrooge is standing on his chair. Because, you know, Bradford, you know, is obviously taller.
Why are you laughing?
He's saying, I don't like being loved. Ah, oh, that's funny. I haven't heard that quote in a while.
You always laugh at the weird stuff. Like, well, not weird stuff, but like random
stuff. The random stuff. It's because I don't expect it. And so then, yeah, Scrooge just standing on his chair. Possum.
Possum.
Possum. Stop. I'm starting to get giddy. Okay. Anyway, yeah, that's the end of the episode. If they should have had, like we said earlier, it should have had an end scene, you know, something more of foul, you know, like what's going on, what's continuing in the plot. But no. Anyway, so yeah, great episode. I cannot wait for, actually, today's Saturday, another 2 days.
We always record on Saturdays.
Best days. So yeah, 2 days, we get the good old fashioned. Sierra's watching the sneak peek right now. Look,
dang it.
Sierra.
I'm sorry. I turned the sound off.
So then, yeah. Looking forward to next week. Get some good old fashioned McDuck family rage. Sierra, what did you do to me? Now I can't stop laughing. So yeah, that's going to be awesome. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be like the rage of siblings, you know, because they were like, you know, bitter feud, like, but I didn't expect it to be, like, them as siblings, you know? Like, I thought they'd be feuding over something
important.
Important, yes, important, like some artifact or something. But nope, it's about Whiskers. Like, or there's probably more of it, though, but Whiskers was, like, you know, that was just the icing on the cake, you know? Like, I love how they brought Whiskers back, though.
Yeah.
And then Matilda, too, because we also... We got promo pics of Matilda. And then we got the sneak peek, and I love how she looks like so similar to her original character, mm-hmm. like comics and stuff, because she's got like the hair that flips up, and then the flower. She's always wearing the flower. So that was just think,
how old is she?
Awesome. Yeah, she is the middle child. Scrooge is the oldest. Matilda's the middle child.
So she's gonna be like at least.
I don't know how much older Scrooge is than her. But I don't know why. But I don't know why I didn't think she'd have a Scottish accent.
I didn't either.
Like, I just, in my head, I pictured Matilda and stuff. I didn't think of the Scottish accent till I also heard it. Hortense
must have an accent, too.
Yeah, obviously. Now,
but
now
Della I know. And Donald don't.
I know. That's funny. Like, how did that happen? They just don't have accents. What if they all had accents in the show?
So funny. I mean, all the kids, they're Scottish. They have Scottish in them.
Yep.
I love how they're always making fun of his accent and stuff. Yeah. Well, not making fun of, but, like, just mimicking it.
Mimicking the accent. Yeah. But I love Scrooge, you know, in the beginning of the promo, you know, he comes into the room like, Matilda! You know, and then Matilda just a classic, like, pause, like, yes?
Yes.
It's like, what do you need? Like,
just petting her pet.
Yeah, so it's been confirmed Scrooge, Matilda, Dewey, and Webby are going to be in this episode. And then it made me think, like, how did Webby break Clan McDuck? You know, like, did she somehow have something to do with Matilda coming? Like, where even are they? Are they at Castle McDuck? Or
I would think so.
What? And, like, where was Matilda? Was Matilda at Castle McDuck the whole time?
I know, right?
And she lives there and she just didn't show herself? Oh my gosh, stop. Yeah, or is she coming for a visit, you know, because the room she's in, it looks obviously like her room. She's into ostriches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where she got that from, if that's something important, but yeah, she's got a giant ostrich.
I mean, it's not giant because they're ducks.
True. So it's a normal-sized ostrich? I don't know. Ostriches are pretty big and creepy. They're creepy.
Ostriches scare me.
Dude.
They're like...
It's been a while since I've seen ostrich, but they're creepy. Also, another thing was, if they're in Dismal Downs, you know, at the castle, like, the mists only part every 5 years. So I'm like, is this 5 years later? Like, that can't be 5 years later because everyone's still the same age. But, like, what is some certain event going to happen to where they have to just brave the mist, you know? Or if it's not even Castle McDuck, but it seems like it is because, you know, the Phantom Blot's trying to steal an artifact, which could possibly be, you know, what, you know, Scrooge was trying to find in Secrets of Castle McDuck, you know, how he's trying to find the artifact, but then he ends up not finding it. Is Phantom Blot coming after that or some other missing mystery?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Matilda. Oh my gosh, back to Matilda. She's got, I guess she's got a, you know, a hair salon, Matildu's. Yeah, that's why she dyed whiskers, was for her very popular salon. Awesome. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. You realize how much Scrooge, you know, cares for whiskers because, you know.
It was like, a bowl of hair.
It was a member of the family. You told me
whiskers ran away.
I love that. You told me whiskers ran away. It's like, oh my gosh. That was awesome.
I just pulled up the picture.
Yeah, and then Scrooge, you know, calls for his mom. You know, this is a full-out sibling fight, and, like, I want to see the rest of the family get involved with this, you know, but then, oh my gosh, I cannot wait. This is going to be an insane episode, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not much else to say. Again, we're going to be taking a 2-week break. We will be back middle of December with Fight for Castle McDuck review, so, yeah, cannot wait. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk at you later. Bye, guys.